Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you on this first Sunday after Christmas to Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church. I'm Jason Bryan. I'm the pastor here. I'd be remiss if I didn't say thank you. Thank you, thank you to all the wonderful people that helped make our Christmas Eve services so wonderful. I think a lot of folks, myself included, were a little concerned about just how good we could be without all the great singing. But the musicians did a marvelous job. All the people that helped decorate before and after, and Ginger for doing the ushering in both services. Guys, it was a wonderful service, and it will really occupy a dear place in my heart for years to come, because it's a sign and symbol that this church can persevere and still worship the Lord in a right and fitting and good and orderly way, even when the cards are against us. And the cards are kind of against us this morning. I apologize for the rather cool temperature of the sanctuary this morning. We seem to have a boiler problem. We decided to stay in here because we thought it would be a little easier, and it seems like everybody's got something warm to wear, so I'm glad that the message got out. I have a couple of announcements to make before we get started. First of all, if you have not received your 2021 tithing envelopes yet, please call the church office and we'll make arrangements for you to receive them. Also, remember, all 2020 donations must be in the church office or postmarked by 12/31/20. Thank you for your gracious and dedicated stewardship as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ here at Cooks. This morning, we'll receive the 10 cents a meal offering today at the end of worship. Please be sure to mark those particular offerings in some way as being for the 10 cents a meal donation. But if you just put change in, we'll figure it out from the amount. If you've purchased one of these beautiful poinsettias and have yet to, in memory or in honor of one of your loved ones, and have not picked it up, we encourage you to take some time this morning following worship to come and grab one. This will be the last Sunday they'll be here, I believe. Next Sunday, sorry. Due to the Christmas, due to the New Year's break, I goofed this in the first service on Thursday night. The church office will be open Monday and Tuesday, but it will be closed Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this coming week. But again, if you experience the need to get into the church or to talk with one of us, just give us a holler and we'll make time for it. If you would like to provide sanctuary flowers in honor and or of memory of a loved one, we have several dates available at this time on the 2021 flower calendar. As more dates become available, we'll let you know. Just give Cheryl a call in the church office to let her know which one of the dates that you would like, and they're listed in the e-newsletter. We're celebrating Epiphany this next Sunday as we hear the story of the wise men traveling to meet the baby Jesus. It's a new tradition to me, but there are cupcakes involved, and I do understand now that it's kind of like a king cake, and if you get the king, then you get to wear a crown for the remainder of the day. Now, we're going to do that, remaining socially distanced and using store-bought cupcakes, but we thought that this was a tradition that was one that the church really enjoyed. We could continue to do it in this difficult time. The last announcement that I have is that the lovely flowers today are in memory of Roy H. and Gladys W. Cox by Freddie and Mary Lou Cox. Thank you to the Cox family for these beautiful flowers. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? Okay. That being the case, let us open our minds and hearts to the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. I begin us this morning with our call to worship, which comes to us from the 95th Psalm. Hear now this word from the Lord. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his as well. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship now and bow down. Join me now in a word of prayer. O Holy One, when Christ ascended into heaven to reign with you in power and glory, You sent the Spirit of truth to guide us into the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ. Let your Spirit, our advocate, our standby witness, guide us still, preserving us from judgment, protecting us from sin, and leading us into righteousness so that we might testify to everyone the good news, fullness of life and joy for all through Jesus Christ, our Savior, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 1 John tells us that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and relieve us of all of our transgressions. Friends, we confess our faith differently during the season of COVID. Normally, we read it together. Instead, in order to cut down on potential cross-contamination, I simply pray it aloud. I invite you to close your eyes, though, and hear the words of confession that I speak, and hopefully, by the power of the Holy Spirit, take them into your own heart. And finally, before we get to the final amen, I give us all a chance to prayerfully take to the Lord our sin from this week. Join me now as we pray our prayer of confession. Spirit of truth, we confess that we have not loved one another as you have loved us. We're quick to find fault and speak ill of others, sins that undermine the fellowship of all believers. We've let strangers and seekers among us feel like outsiders. We've not done our best to carry the good news of Jesus Christ beyond the walls of the church. Forgive our casual disregard of Jesus' command to go and make disciples. Forgive us for not using faithfully the powerful gifts of love and service you gave to the church at Pentecost. Renew a right spirit within us that we may carry the love and mercy of Christ from this place into our everyday community and to the world beyond. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Father, one God, now and forever. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we are assured that we have taken off the soiled garments of sin and have been clothed in the fresh, bright, and sparkling clean clothes of the Lamb, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Charles, that was beautiful. At this point, we'd like to invite the children to come down and take a seat on one of the crosses we have here off to the right of the, to my left, but to y'all's right. And Miss Sheila is going to have a word for you guys. We sent it out
via Facebook. That was the only way we could do it.
Hey, guys. Well, good morning. It's very good to see all of you on this sunny day.
Don't. I kid. Year for love. Well, this is what I'm going to ask
one does she want? She's got it. Pick one out for her. Good job, sister. Finley, pick out one, bud. All right, and Lily and Ben, y'all come pick out one. Now, what does that say?
Love.
It was made by a favorite cousin of mine who lives in Atlanta. And I asked her to make these things for me because she encourages people to carry them around with them, put them on a shelf, or give it to someone they love. This is my challenge for you in 2021. Put it somewhere so that when you wake up, just after you think of breakfast, think about who could you love that day. And how much you love them that day. It could be a smile, a hug, a kind word, a friendly gesture. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for giving us a chance to love others.
Thank you, Sheila. My kids will always tell you what they really think. Right? Sometimes. I wish they wouldn't. Well, we come now into a time of Scripture. We're going to do something a little different this morning, and I'll explain that. But as always, before we get to the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come into a time of prayer for illumination. So join me in that. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Old Testament reading comes to us from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verses 10 through 14. It reads as follows. He who loves money will never be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let them sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Ecclesiastes is always a great book. It's one of the Old Testament books of wisdom. It can seem kind of dour at points, but it was written by King Solomon, who would have experienced wealth and riches like no one we could even imagine, not even Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos. He would have had absolute power and absolute riches. And yet, at the end of his life, he writes very extensively, saying that all these things that he had chased after, wisdom and riches and the pleasures of company, had all, in the light of God, failed, and that what he recognized was that it was only being faithful to God that gave this life its real meaning. It's a wonderful book, and it's worthy of your time to read into. This morning, as I said, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to practice an ancient spiritual discipline called Lectio Divina. Now, this may be a reintroduction to you or an introduction as it stands. I was introduced to this practice in my first year of divinity school at Duke University. It came during a mandatory class that we took every year called Spiritual Growth and Enrichment. That particular year, we had a new chaplain who oversaw it, and she was kind of getting her footing. So some of the sessions were hit and miss, and when our particular leader of that spiritual enrichment class rose and told us what we were going to do, I have to confess this, kind of rolled my eyes and thought, oh no, here we go again. But thanks be to God, the Spirit intervened. Now, what we're going to do, as I said, is Lectio Divina. It is an ancient practice. It's a practice in which we try to enter into the Scriptures. More often than not, when I come up and preach, what I do is I try to interpret by the power of the Holy Spirit, hopefully, what the Scriptures mean. For example, in the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ is going to say, you know, as the Father sent me, so I sent you. Well, as a preacher interpreting Scripture, my job is to link that to why he would say such, Jesus would say such a thing. What's its meaning for us today? How does it work with other Scriptures? Where else do we see reflections of that same wisdom? Lectio Divina is a different sort of practice. The goal of Lectio Divina is to have you enter into the Word, to really surround yourself with God's Scripture, to find yourself located in the story, so to speak, to feel yourself there. It was, as I said, the first time I did it, a real revelation, because we were guided to turn our minds off and focus only on the words and the particular verse, the particular framing question that I'll ask. So here's what we'll do. This practice, I should say, before I get to that point, began in the 2nd century AD with a man who was known as Origen. Origen then taught that practice to Ambrose. Ambrose, a bishop, then taught it to Augustine. And Augustine put it into more wide practice and use, and then it was picked up and kind of codified by Saint Benedict, who would, of course, been the founder of the Benedictine monks. It's a practice that has kind of come through the ancient times all the way forward into the 21st century. As a matter of fact, the previous Pope, Pope Benedict, commended it as being an essential part of the life of Catholic development of faith. Now you think, well, we're not Catholic. Well, true. This is a practice that's also heartily commended by a variety of Protestant denominations, our own included. Again, I just encourage you to kind of go with it. Feel free to close your eyes if it helps. And here's what we'll do. I've chosen a passage of Scripture. In fact, I chose the same passage of Scripture I was introduced to this ancient practice with. I'm going to read it slowly. Before I do, though, I'm going to give you a question that should guide your thought process. As you listen, though, try to focus just on the words. Close off your mind to all your other concerns. After Christmas is always a great time to do this because a lot of the hectic and commotion and the worry about presents or travel has subsided. So listen to the words as they're spoken. As you think upon the framing question. We'll do it three times. Each time we'll use a different prompt. We'll read the same passage. The goal, as I've said, is to help you enter into Scripture not as a theological or intellectual endeavor, but instead as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ to find yourself with Him. Today, I've chosen, as I said, the same scene that we read there at Duke University Divinity School, and it's an exciting one, I think. It comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 4th chapter. Of course, if we remember the 4th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, or the first three that lead up to it, we realize that Mark moves things at a very fast pace. But even in chapter 4, Jesus' ministry is new, and he's just called some fishermen as his first apostles. And they're with him there on this boat, and of course, a storm is going to come. So I read to you now from the Gospel of Mark, the 4th chapter. I'm reading I didn't write them down this morning, so I apologize. We'll be reading from Mark 4, and so I invite you now to hear the word of the Lord. And again, feel free to close your eyes if it helps you. The question I'd like you to ponder in this first reading is, what's the one word or phrase that the Holy Spirit impresses on you? We'll read it through one time, then we'll allow 2 minutes or three, depending, for the reflection on the question. And so we begin. So one of the practices I learned is if everybody would take a deep breath in through their nose and out through their mouth a couple of times, and We'll begin. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were there with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" In our second reading, I'd like you to focus your thoughts, both during the reading and following, on what do you feel? What specific situation in your life today relates to this reading of the Word? On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why were you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? On our third reading of this passage from Mark 4, I'd like to ask you, what invitation do you hear from God in this passage of Scripture? How is God speaking to you and leading you in a specific direction? On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" As we gently come out of this time of meditation, as we've practiced this ancient art of Lectio Divina, I can't help but be reminded by, as I said, the first time I experienced the practice, and I'm going to share with you just some of my experiences from back then. You know, I was in my first year at the time at Duke Divinity, and we had one professor, Dr. Warren Smith, who had led us through the first 12 centuries of Christian thought. It was a class thick with theology, thick with a lot of terms and concepts. His exam was supposed to be the hardest on the campus. Now, that was probably an exaggeration, but to us, we sure thought it was going to be an awful thing. And most of us had done relatively well in school, but Duke was really starting to show that they were that we would need to take it to the next level. So all of us in that small room that day were scared about our exams, wondering about whether our call to the ministry was valid. As I entered into this particular text that day years ago, what I heard very clearly was Jesus' rebuke of the wind and the sea, and I heard it him speaking into my panic and worry, "Peace, be still." And then I reflected in the second run through about how all of these trials and difficulties and issues that we run into life, that Jesus Christ is so sovereign over all creation, so certainly assured our heavenly hereafter, that he can sleep even while the winds rage, knowing that we're safely and eternally in his everlasting hands. And that's what stuck with me and remains with me to this day. You know, we're certainly gratified that there seems to be a vaccine on the near horizon, and some folks are getting it even now. But I think, as we're all aware, more so now going into 2021 rather than we were coming into this year, that life can throw us some tremendous curveballs. And yet, what I find in this passage is the awareness that Jesus Christ's sovereignty, his power, his mercy, and his love are omnipotent. And as he is the Alpha and the Omega, he is the first and the last, and his is the last word. And his word is that the day is surely coming when Jesus Christ will come again in glory, and we will be taken to the everlasting kingdom in which there is no sickness, no want, no worry, no war, no death even. Friends, we also have a great opportunity as the new year comes into fruition. As Sheila mentioned with the kids, 2021 can be a year of tremendous spiritual growth in Jesus Christ. But I will tell you, just like anything that is growth related, it comes with work and with effort. And yet somehow, as the calendars go into the new year, we're reminded that this new year can be filled with different things, different hopes, different dreams. I encourage you to take up this practice of Lectio Divina if it interested you this morning. You can get readings online and do it at home by yourself. You can even add journaling into the mix if you feel so called. But if this was a laborious exercise for you, I understand it. It is for some. I would encourage you to find something else that meets your spiritual need in Jesus Christ, because there's something, whether that be a small group of people gathering just to pray, maybe it's a new Bible study, perhaps it's your own undertaking of the reading of the entirety of Scripture. There are so many things possible in this great and coming new year, ways in which we can all grow in Jesus Christ and be more strengthened and comforted in him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which our hearts, having been cleansed by our confession and filled through the proclamation and reading of God's word, we come into a time in which we lift up our thoughts and prayers for the world, for those whom we love, and for our community. We do so knowing and trusting that God not only hears our prayers, but indeed answers them. And so we pray now. Join me. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now as your disciples. We know that you love us. We know that your love for us never ends and is with us even if and when we sin. Heavenly Father, we recognize that before there were things, there was you. And that now that you are in the world, in and through the power of the Holy Spirit, our lives are unshackled from bondage to sin and freed from the tyranny of death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Heavenly Father, we give you such great thanks for these many blessings. So too do we thank you for the awareness that others need you, O Lord, more than they need anything else. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for all of those who are wandering in darkness, unaware or unembracing of the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would stir within them, awakening them to your love and to your glories, to your glory and to your grace, O Lord. Share with them the fruit of your Holy Spirit just as you share it with us. For we know that as more and more people come alive in you through new birth, O Lord, that the world grows in light and light in goodness. Gracious God, move in the hearts of those in our lives who are not followers of Jesus Christ. Allow us, O Lord, to be your hands and feet, and if need be, your voice, sharing your good news about what Christ has done to reconcile sinners back to the Father. Heavenly Father, we recognize that aside from the deep spiritual need of so many others, there are so many other physical needs. And so, Heavenly Father, we just pray that wherever anyone within this congregation or within the love of this congregation are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious, we just pray, Heavenly Father, that the Spirit of your peace would descend in the power of your Holy Spirit into these lives. To those who are ill, provide healing for the body. For those who are anxious, provide serenity to the soul. For those who are grieving, remind them, O Lord, that their loved ones are safe with you, awaiting them in the kingdom. And for those who worry about 2021, we just pray that we would hear your words, peace, be still, and recognize that you alone, sovereign Lord, have all power, control, and authority, and that you have promised us that our story and the story of this entire universe ends, and it ends very, very well. We pray for those who are fighting coronavirus. We pray for those who are continuing to struggle with its after effects. We pray for those who are recovering from surgery. We pray for those who are recovering from losing loved ones. We just ask, O Lord, that you greet and meet each according to his need, and you meet them all with your Son, our Lord and Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of his coming kingdom, and we make them all concluding with the prayer Jesus Christ himself taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we are continuing not to pass the plates around, but we do encourage you to be continually faithful to your commitment to Jesus Christ through the giving of your tithes and offerings. There's a box here at the front and one also on your way out. We encourage you, if you're giving your 10-cent a meal donation as well, to just make sure that's marked on a check or given in a way that will allow our counters to know what you're doing. God does indeed love a cheerful giver. And the more we give, what we find is not only, it's not that we have less stuff, it's that we have more love and peace and joy, and most importantly, hope. Hope for the new year. Friends, know that you have an eternal life in Jesus Christ. Know that that life is beginning here, and yet in your faithful acts, you experience just a foretaste of the coming kingdom of peace and love and hope and joy. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forever. Amen. Thank you, everyone. We look forward to seeing everybody back next Sunday for our special Epiphany Sunday. Come for the cupcakes, if nothing else, right? God bless y'all.